Yud Dalad Kislev, Thursday the 22nd of November, Diane Doniel Schoenfeld. I spilt coffee in the restaurant. It's a theoretical one.
Good morning. I spilt his coffee in the restaurant. The question is as follows, but really this is just an introduction to a very wide-ranging topic on how to estimate, how to assess damage that you do to someone's item. The story was, Reuven's sitting in a restaurant, and he's enjoying his meal, together with his family. And he orders a coffee, and Shimon, walking down the aisle with his child, unfortunately gives Reuven a nudge. He trips on himself, the child knocks Reuven, and the coffee goes flying, spills all over our friend Reuven and all over his daughter's dress. Very unfortunate occurrence. Now Reuven, holding himself back from any retaliation, turns around to Shimon and says, this is not fair, right? He wants some compensation. He's ruined my whole event over here. He writes a letter. You ruined my whole experience, my whole trip. You wasted my coffee. I have to pay for dry cleaning on my daughter's dress. But besides for that, you nearly burnt me. You know, very irresponsible. You should be looking after your child better than that. Okay, the shaila is, what does Shimon, what's he liable to pay? Does he have to pay anything? Now, to this particular shaila of the coffee, there are a few aspects, right? Because, first of all, it was a child who did it. Not Shimon. His child damaged. So is a parent liable to pay?
You said the child damaged. Well,
is that what I said?
Yeah.
That's not what happened, but it would be the same shaila.
So he
nudged him.
Oh, sorry, I meant to say the child tricked and nudged Reuven. He nudged Reuven, who was drinking the coffee.
Okay. Sorry, the damage was done by the child.
Yeah, Reuven's drinking the coffee, the child trips and knocks Reuven. Now, is Shimon the father liable for his child's damage? Question number one. Question number two is, a coffee in a restaurant costs, how much? £4.50. Whatever it costs. But if you go to Tesco, you'll get 100 coffees for that price. So how much do I have to pay? Do I pay the restaurant price, which is including service and ambiance and all other things? Or do I just pay the value of the caffeine, water, sugar? That's it. Finally, the dry cleaning. Does the dry cleaning have to be paid for?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure if we'll be able to cover all the points. A similar question about the cost of the coffee. The coffee costs a lot more in a restaurant than it does in other places. It would be in a restaurant. It would be in an aeroplane. Same question in an aeroplane. If someone buys a drink on an aeroplane and someone spills it, how much do you pay the £3 that Coca-Cola costs on an aeroplane or 50p that it'll cost you in Tesco? Very interesting. I was talking to somebody yesterday outside Shul. And this is another question which comes up a lot when it comes to evaluating. Somebody lends two earrings. A lady has a nice pair of earrings, let's say worth £100. She lends them to a friend. The friend enjoys them. And unfortunately, she loses one, or she damages one. So now, the earrings together are worth £100. One earring that's left by itself is worth £15. Right, but when you have both together, I show you two earrings. How much is each one worth? £50 each, right? If they together make up £100, surely each one is worth £50. So how much do you pay? Do you pay? You've damaged one earring.
They're not.
Sorry?
Like one shoe is worth half of two shoes? No.
Well, when I show you both shoes, how much is each one worth?
They're worth nothing, unless they're in a pair.
So that's the question. When I damage one, I was given a pair, and I've damaged one of that pair. What's the value of that one in the pair?
100, because the damage is
something. Let me put the size in front of you. There are three options here. You may want to argue that there's only one. 1 minute. Let me give you the options for a second. By the way, this is not the point of my. So we shouldn't spend too long. This is not really where I'm going. I'm just mentioning it as an interesting point. You could say, which we're not happy about, perhaps everyone's not happy about, that you only pay £50. You pay £50 because. When I show you both of them, there's £100, each one's worth 50. Damaged one, you pay 50, perhaps. Or you could say, well listen, when there's one remaining, how much did I tell you it's worth? £15. So then you see one is only worth £15. So maybe the first one I damaged you, I should only pay you £15. Because it's only worth, if you show me one, it's only 15. Or perhaps you'll say, no, you pay me the £85. But now, I only left with one, which is worth 15. So I've made you lose 85.
No, I've got a fourth option.
What's the fourth option?
Fourth option is the cost of making another one to match.
I
want you to give me back a pair of earrings, so you go to a jeweller and get him to make it up specially, even if it costs £500.
Yeah, that would be the cost if you can't buy them in the shop, because they'd be custom-made, correct?
Yeah.
But if they're widely available, then why should you go to your private jeweller when you can buy it?
Then the cost of a pair of earrings.
The genuine fifth option.
And the cost of a pair of earrings in the shop.
If you can only buy the pair,
yeah.
Yeah, if you can only buy the pair, that would be another option, yeah.
It would be the only option.
Buy a pair and keep the one you want.
Maybe not. Maybe you don't have to buy both earrings. I broke one earring. You've got one.
I'm going to reimburse you
the damage I did. The fact that you can't wear my money, the fact that the coins I'm giving you can't put on your ear, is not necessarily a reason for me to buy you a new pair. I have to pay for the damage I caused. Not the loss of it. Yeah, the damage to the item that I have to pay, reimburse you for the damage to the item.
Why?
That's
the value of the pair. The pair's gold. Give the person who borrowed it the single
the ability
one,
to wear two.
Give them £100.
Okay, so let's go through the categories of mazik. I'm sure you've heard these before. We know there's mazik for your dayim, right? There's direct damage. That's a regular mazik. It doesn't matter how you do it. You can do it with your hands. You can do it with a utensil, with a hammer. You can shoot at something. That's called mazik for your dayim. And the person who does that is liable, whether he does it on purpose, by mistake, even if he's ba'onus. The person's liable to pay for his damages. That's mazik b'yodayim. Now, there's three other categories. There's garmi, which I'm sure you've heard of. Groma, which you've probably heard of. And mevatel kisoy. Now, what are those three things? Garmi, groma. So those sound very similar, and there's always confusion between the two. Garmi, groma, and mevatel kisoy. I'm going to start with the last two of groma. Groma means causative damage, right? I've only caused you a loss. Let's say you have an animal, this is the case of the Gemara, you have an animal in a field, and I break the wall of your field so the animal can escape. And you lose your animal. You lose your animal because I broke the wall. So now for the wall, that's mazik b'yodayim, that I have to pay for, the value of the wall which I broke. The animal that walked out, I didn't touch that animal. I only caused it to run away. I caused it to get lost. So that is groma. The Gemara says, for that, a beis din will not make the person pay. He's not liable bidei odom. A beis din won't make you pay. You're chayv bidei shamayim, the Gemara says. Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, he doesn't let you off. And there'll be a cher yesh din v'yesh dayan. But when it comes to beis din, when it comes to practical halacha, what will the dayan say? When it comes to groma, he won't say you'll have to pay. He won't say you're potter, he won't say you're completely exempt, because in Shomayim Yochai, but he won't make you pay, he won't force you pay. That's when it comes to groma. Now, Chazal saw fit in certain cases of groma, this causative damage, to make you liable. In cases which were very common. Certain cases of the Gemara list, which were very common of these causative damages, which they said, even though it's only causative, it's not direct, still will make you pay. And those are called garmi. That's the word garmi. It's also causative. But it's causative that Chazal said, even though it's causative, you still have to pay. Okay. And then, finally, so far we've got three stages, right? We've got mazik b'yodayim, which you break with your hands, you have to pay for. We've got groma, which is only causative, you let the animal run away, you don't have to pay for. And then we've got garmi, which is also causative damage, but it's common, and therefore you have to pay. Chazal made you pay in certain cases. One of those cases is if you take somebody's shtar, they have a piece of paper which says an IOU. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I owe you money, and you've got a piece of paper which says, my handwriting says I owe you, and I take that and I rip it up. So now you've got no way of getting your money back. So then the person who ripped up the IOU would have to pay you, even though it's only causative. Right, he's only caused you. The piece of paper is just a piece of paper. He's caused you not to get your money back, but since it was common, Chazal said that's too common, that's too easy a thing to happen, we'll make you pay for that.
Okay. Not sure the kesef, and that makes a difference.
Exactly, because the paper is not the value of the £10,000 you lent. The paper is only worth the few pence it's worth.
It's sure the kesef. I could trade that piece of paper.
They discussed that point, but you won't be able to trade it for £10,000. If the loan is £10,000, you'll only be able to trade it for £9,000. But you'll still have to pay me the £10,000 because of Chazal said that although the full £10,000 only causative, we'll make you pay that because it was common. Okay, now the last stage is a loss of profits. If I cause you not to make profits. So let's talk about a case which again is quite common. A person goes into a shop and he knocks over a bottle of wine. How much does he have to pay for the bottle of wine? The shopkeeper paid for it £5. But he's selling it for £25, whatever the markup is. Do you pay the wholesale price that the shopkeepers lost, because they paid £5 for it? So, listen, you lost the bottle that was to you worth £5. I'll pay you £5. Or do you pay the full amount of what they could have sold it for, the possible profit, the opportunity cost, that they could have made £25. I'll pay you for £25. By the way, what would you say logically?
Wholesale.
The £5?
Wholesale.
You'll say the £5?
Yeah. That's his
loss. Break it in a warehouse.
No, in a shop.
That's it. £25.
You think £25?
In the place, it's what it's worth. Loss of
profit. You think loss of profit. Okay, so generally, loss of profit is, you're not chayv for it. A classic case of groma, of causative damage, and therefore you're not liable to pay for me causing you not to make a profit, normally. Right? That would normally be the case. Let me quote to you a Gemara that says as follows. Bar Metzia Daf Tzadi Tes. It talks about a porter, a man who is carrying barrels for vendors, for a shopkeeper. It says, Hani Shukloi, these porters, the Tavru Chavisa de Chamra Lechenvena, who broke a barrel that belonged to a shopkeeper. Yeah, they were carrying the barrel and they broke it. Now this barrel, in those times they had market days on Mondays and Thursdays, they had market days, right? So the Gemara says like this, B'yom the Shukam is Davna Behei. Well, on market day, on Monday and Thursday, this barrel is sold for £5. Okay, we'll call it £5. B'shar Yomi, on any other day of the week, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any other day which is not market day, it's only sold for £4. Mizdavna Badal, it's sold for £4. The Gemara says now, it depends when this porter wants to pay back. He's broken the barrel. And we're not told when he broke the barrel. Did he break it on a Monday or Thursday, which is market day? Or did he break it on another day? We're not told in the Gemara. We'll come to that in a moment. But what we are told in the Gemara is it depends when he pays back. It says, if he pays back on a Monday or Thursday, then he can give a barrel of wine back. If he pays back on a Monday or Thursday, here's a barrel of wine, go and sell it. It's a Monday or Thursday, market day, here's a barrel, go and sell it. But if he pays back on the other days, then he has to pay back £5. He has to pay back £5 if he pays back on the other days. Now, as I say, we're not told in the Gemara when he broke it. So that the Rishonim deal with. And I'm going to go according to how the Shach explains this in Siman Shin Dalad of Choshev Mishpat. He says as follows, there's a Rosh and a Rambam who actually argue in the explanation of the Gemara, but he synthesizes them, he puts them together into one Peshat. And he says like this. He says, if you break it on a non-market day, you break it on a Sunday. So on a Sunday, how much is it worth? It's only worth £4. So you only have to pay back £4. Because you broke it when it was worth £4. But if you break it on a market day, then you have to pay back £5. Because it was worth £5. That's simply said, the Rishonim. Okay, I've cut out a lot, but that's what we need for our discussion. The Rosh and the Rambam are of the opinion that if you break it on a Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you pay £4 because that's how much it was worth at the time. If you break it on a Monday or Thursday, you'll pay £5 because that's how much it was worth on those days. Now, how much on a if you break it on a Thursday? Let's think about the market day. You broke it on a Monday or a Thursday. It's sold for £5. How much did the shopkeeper buy it for? Less. Clearly less, because on the other days he sells it for £4. Mm. So he's not going to be making a loss on the other days. So clearly less. He bought it for less than £5. Yet on a market day, its value is given as £5. Its value is given as £5. Yeah, that's... Nowadays in a shop, every day is market day. When you walk into a shop, every day is up for trading. They have their full prices on. So you should have to pay, according to this reasoning, you should have to pay £5. You should have to pay, well, in our case of the wine bottle, you would have to pay £25. Because we look at it, that on that day, that's its value. Because that's what it's sold for.
If there's a one-day sale, it would be like the same idea.
Friday. Yeah, if there would be, exactly.
Friday.
If there would be a sale, then what would be, exactly, then we would have to think. Let's come to that in a moment, if there would be a sale. That's one explanation in the Gemara. Okay, depends when you broke it. If you broke it on the day it was worth sold for 4, you pay 4. Sorry. And if you break it on the day when it sold for 5, you pay 5. There's another pshat in the Gemara, which is Rashi. And Rashi, Tosfos, and the Ramban. And they say like this, and this goes against the rules, the categories we explained a few moments ago. Rashi says, if you break it on any day, you pay 5. No matter when you break it, even if you break it on a non-market day when it's only sold for 4, you have to pay the higher market price.
Why?
Why? Exactly. Surely that's only Mevatel Kisur Shachavera. That's only, if I break it on a Sunday, today it's sold for 4. What's the argument to pay 5? Because I could have kept the barrel till market day, and I could have sold it. But today, how much is it worth? Today it's worth 4. You're just arguing that you could have sold it at a later date for more. Is that not mevatel kisur shechaverah? Is that not just causing an opportunity loss? A loss of profits, which we've said in the case of grama, which you don't pay for?
But it's a very often recurring opportunity. It's not like something that's like one-off, something that's different.
Excellent. Exactly. So that's how the Chazon Ish goes with your reasoning. Chazon Ish says your reason, although the Ketzos doesn't say like that. The Ketzos, and this is what I found interesting, the Ketzos says that when is opportunity cost? When do I say that loss of profits you don't have to pay for? That's only if those profits are not certain. But if the profits are certain, then you do have to pay for them. And I've been told apparently in English law it's the same as that. Opportunity cost is very seldom enforced by the courts because you have to prove it. How do you know you would make that profit in the future? But if it's a certain, apparently they have that logic as well. But as far as halacha is concerned, the ketzos takes the opinion that although on the day you broke it was worth 4, but since it would definitely have been sold for 5 the next day, although it's only grama, you're only causing a loss, but if it's a certain possibility, certain opportunity that was going to come that you could have sold it for 5, you would have to pay. Okay, so we've said 2 explanations in the Gemara, and I'd like to bring out a difference between them.
Once it broke, went down the next day, it lost value.
So we'd go according. You always go fishasa hezek. The Gemara says in all the Rishonim, you always go according to the time that it was damaged. That's our locha. We look at the item and we want to know at that moment how much was it worth. The reason why you might have to pay for opportunity where it's a certainty is because we look at it as if it's here now. Because it's a certainty that you'll make that profit, we look at it as if that profit's here now and you've been damaged it now. That's the. So we said 2 pshatim in the Gemara, 2 explanations. One explanation is the Rosh and the Rambam, who say that if you break it on a non-market day, you pay 4. And if you break it on a market day, you pay 5. Then we have Rashi, who says that even if you break it on a non-market day, you pay 5. And we've explained it according to the Ketzos, because it's a certain opportunity that will come. It's a certain profit that will be made.
It's funny, Rashi was a wine dealer.
So, imagine the following scenario. You have our shop that we've been discussing. Let's turn it as discussing yesterday. Someone buys a hat, right? And the hats are quite expensive these days. They cost, £150 they cost. So, you go into a shop, and you damage a hat which is worth £150. How much do you have to pay?
£150.
You have to pay, we said, £150, not retail price. According to everyone, you're paying how much it's sold for. If you break it on market day, everyone agrees you pay 5. Correct? Nowadays, every day is market day, so you'll be paying 5. You pay the higher, higher price. It's the retail price, exactly. Did I say that?
You said not the retail price.
No, not the wholesale price, I'm so sorry. Okay. Yeah, it's a very silly mistake, thank you. You pay the retail price. Exactly. You'll be paying the higher price because it's Yom HaShuk. Every day is Yom HaShuk. You'll be paying the higher price. So now in this shop, it's sold for £150. And in fact, if you go to all the hat shops in town, this hat is sold for £150. Now there's one shop which sells it for £200. And you go into that shop and you sit on that hat. You leave it on the chair, but you try it on, leave it on the chair and you sit down. How much do you pay? Do you pay the £200 at this shop's retail prices, or do you pay the £150 that is the local retail price?
You go to the other shop and buy the £150 hat and give them the hat.
You could do that. You could do that.
No, seriously.
Yeah, I'm serious. You could go to the other shop, buy the same hat, and return it. But if that possibility is not there, you can't do that. How much do you pay? So Rabbi Eliashiv explains like this. He says that the reason why we pay retail price in a shop, yeah, we don't pay wholesale price. When you break something, you don't pay what the shopkeeper paid for it. You pay what he would sell it for, is because the sale price is its true value in this area. In this location, retail price is the definition of its true value. That's what it's worth. That's what everyone buys it for. That's its value. But if you have one shop that sells it for higher than everyone's retail price, you're not going to pay his loss of profit because we're looking for the true value of the item on the Yom HaShuk. We're looking for the true value. The true value is according to the retail price of all the shops in the area, because that's the value in the local shops. So you'll be paying £150. Although, according to Rashi's opinion, in this shop you would pay £200, because Rashi holds that if there's certainty of making profit, you would pay that. But not everyone agrees with that opinion, so you wouldn't have to pay on this shop. You'd only pay the local retail price. So the rule that comes out of here is, something which is broken in the shop, you pay retail price, as long as that is the local accepted retail price. If there's one exceptional shop which charges much higher than local retail price, you wouldn't be paying that.
It has to be one exception. If it's like...
Right, then that would be a grey area where the line will be drawn. Okay, so now back to our case of the coffee. And here there's two ways to look at a coffee. So the coffee, the shop buys for very little, right? Obviously. But the restaurant. But they sell it for a lot more than they buy it for. But we've established that you pay retail price for damaging something in a shop. Okay. So now, when our friend Shimon's child knocked over this coffee, how much do you pay for a coffee in the restaurant? If you go to Tesco next door, coffee's going to cost you a lot less. Here in the restaurant, you pay for a coffee. Now, why do you pay £5 for your coffee? For the service, for all the surroundings, right? All the everything that comes with it. So now, I'm asking you this, and I've seen people argue one way. I think the other way is true. I'd like to hear what you say. How much is the coffee worth? You poured the water. What? You didn't break the cup. You didn't ruin the service. Everything that's paid for, these £5, or however much a coffee costs, for the £4 that the coffee costs, incorporates all different costs that the restaurant is charging you for. But not because the water... I mean, I'm asking you, is it because the water, caffeine and sugar in a restaurant has a different value to water, caffeine and sugar at home?
You pay for the service.
Well, correct, you pay for the service. But I didn't ruin the service. That's true. The waitress handed you the coffee, you paid for that, you got it. Now, I haven't damaged that. I haven't killed the waitress, and I haven't ruined the restaurant. All I've done is spilled...
It's the enjoyment of having a coffee.
All the coffee.
Yes,
see, I don't want to drink it. Take it back. He's not giving me my money back.
No, they won't give you your money back.
Well,
that's true.
I hear you. Have your coffee
so this back. This is a misconception. You don't pay for money spent. When I break your car, I don't pay for your car because you spent £5,000 on your car.
Yeah.
I pay you for your car because your car today is worth £5,000. That's why I pay you. Not because of what you paid. If you pay £3,000 for the car and today it's worth £5,000, I'll pay you £5,000. Correct? I don't pay for what you paid. You paid freely. That you get out of the game. I'll pay you for the item today. Now, I'm asking you, how much is a coffee in a restaurant worth?
I think it's a very simplistic way of comparing it. Because like you said, someone painted a tree on a canvas, is worth 10, and like I can show you someone like does the same thing worth a million. So you're going to say a tree on the canvas is worth so much?
No. Because then you don't pay for any server. When you pay for the canvas, you're not paying for
the
art.
The guy who painted it.
Sorry?
Because this guy happens to have more...
I'm not paying for his painting. No, I'm not. You're right. If I went up to a man and said, I'll pay you to paint me a painting, that would be different. But you're not discussing that. You're discussing a painting which is ready made. So what do you pay for? Not for the painting. You don't care if it took him 10 minutes to make it or 10 years to make it. You're going to pay for the finished product of the thing. Now, I ask you, you're arguing one way. You're saying that a coffee is true value, incorporates the service, the ambiance and everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
that's fine.
A coffee here. It costs £4. You give me £4. You spill my coffee in the store.
The question
is... I can make it over to you.
Yeah, I'm not arguing what it costs you. What I want to know is that the true value? Okay. Listen, as I said, I saw yesterday from a very chosh of a poisek, like you're saying. Correct, that you're correct and that you pay the £5 for the coffee because that's what it's worth.
Isn't it the replacement cost?
No. That's what I'm saying. In the case of the earrings that we had, although it would cost to replace, you'd have to buy two, it's not so simple that you should have to buy the person two earrings, because I've only damaged one.
Right.
But what? You don't have to buy another coffee.
Why not? What's going to happen?
I have to pay you for what I damaged. If you want to now go and buy another coffee for yourself, that's your choice. I want to... Let's say I broke the handle of the cup. And it was your cup. It was a bad example, but...
It would be a good example. If you broke like a handle of a China cup,
yeah.
I'm saying... You can replace the handle, so what do you pay for?
Right. Isn't it? Have you broken the cup or just the handle?
Isn't it to put the person back into the position he was before the damage occurred?
That is a logical way of saying it, although Halacha doesn't put it like that. Well, you have to pay for the item that was damaged. Now, if that means putting it back in... If you can fix it, stage one always in damages is fix the damage, if you can fix it. But we're not talking about fixing, we're talking about payment. Now the question is, where does the payment go? But I agree with you. I think the logical approach is, as you're saying, that the coffee is worth the full amount. Now on an aeroplane, what do you say about an aeroplane? What's the time? On an aeroplane, someone's bought Coca-Cola for £3.50, right? I've never understood those people. And you've gone and spilt it. Sorry? So now you spilt it. How much do you pay for the Coca-Cola on the aeroplane? You spill his Coca-Cola. Is a Coca-Cola on the aeroplane, has it got a different price to Coca-Cola? It's got sky-high prices in the sky. Do you pay sky price or do you pay ground price for the Coca-Cola? What would you say?
Replacement cost.
You would pay for the price. The Coca-Cola on an airplane maybe is worth more. It's a different
market. It's a recurrent thing.
It's a different market, you're saying. Okay. What happens, listen to this, I bring my Coca-Cola with me onto the airplane. And you damage it. Now how much do you pay? If you're going to argue that an airplane is a market to itself, it's an area to itself, then if I have my Coca-Cola on an airplane, you should also have to pay me that. Pay me the £3. I pay 20p for it.
Paying that? The moment you broke it?
The moment you broke it.
So then there's no other option.
If that's the only price.
That's what would come out, right?
Yeah.
That's a chiddush, right? That means as I saw an ice cream on the beach, you pay more for, right?
Yeah.
So if you break, you understand if someone buys the ice cream on the beach, that you have to pay them the cost of purchase. But if I bring my own ice cream from my car that I bought just above, outside the beach for far less, and I walk down to the beach with it, and then you spill and knock over my ice cream, you'll also have to pay what? The higher price, because here, is that correct?
Yeah.
So it comes out quite interesting.
I just wonder, are you obliged to give the guy the money back, or are you obliged to give him back the ice cream or the coffee or whatever?
If you can give him back the ice cream that you spilled, you're obliged to give him back the ice cream, which you can't obviously with ice cream. Yeah. But if you break a different item that you can fix, then you'd be obligated to give back the item, but here you can't do that, so you just pay.
A Coke on a plane is £3.50, a Coke in Tesco is 50p.
So how much do you pay? So you could wait for the grand and buy a Coke in Tesco and give it to him. That's the other option.
If you've got
one in your bag.
If he wants it now, exactly. If he wants it now, so you don't have that option. But if he only comes to you the next day and says, hey, you broke my Coke on the plane, it was worth £3.50, so then you can just give him another Coke. You either pay him £3.50, or you buy a cheap Coke and give him the Coca-Cola. This topic can go on and on. There's so many examples of it. But that's just...